Father, we thank you for this morning. We just ask to for your presence to be with us today, God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to each and every single one of us. May you give us an open heart to receive your word today. You give us an open heart to just pray the things that are on your heart and to worship you in spirit and in truth, God. We thank you for this morning. We love you. In your son's most precious name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. And we'll read from verses 13 to 15. Joshua 5, 13 to 15. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Amen. So back when I was working at a cafe, before our flights, about 2 days before our flight, we would get our actual roster released. And this would be a very interesting time for us. We already had a preview of who our roster, what our roster was, or who was going to be on our flight. But there would be some last-minute changes, or people would swap their flights with other people. But 2 days before, you would find out who was on your flight, bearing any last-minute changes, and actually what position you were on the plane. So we get assigned these different positions to work. And if you knew friends on the flight, you could message them, like, "Hey, what position are you?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm J1 or Y3, and all these different codes that don't make sense to normal people. But you would find out where you're working, and you would look, and you're like, "Oh, crap. I hope that person isn't working in the same section as I am." Or, "Oh, no, it's this in charge again." And basically, you would go into the office, and then there'd be like a lot of chatter, like, "Hey, are you in the same section as I am? Are you working with me? Or is this person, like, if a person wasn't really good, and it's pretty well known that they're not very good as a flight attendant, you'd be like, "Oh, man, I really hope I'm not working with them." And it almost seems as if I want this person and this person and this person and this person to work with me to ensure a good flight, to ensure that nothing really happens during the service, and that, you know, they're, the term that we used back then was called fit ma, for the Cantonese speakers. Yeah, Carmen understands. So basically, you just wanted a good team. You wanted to be able to actually handpick who you worked with, so you could have an easy time and you wouldn't have any troubles, and the in-charge would come down and say, "Hey, what's going on?" You'd be like, "Oh, all taken care of. Everyone's doing really good." And the fear was always that one person that would always manage to screw things up no matter what happened. Something would invariably go wrong with, you know, different crew members. And I tell you that story because a lot of the times, For me, I always had this fear of working with people that couldn't really perform up to just regular standards. Because I'm like, well, do I have to discipline them, or do I have to, you know, coach them, or do I have to have a really awkward conversation with them? Because I wanted a good flight. I didn't want any troubles. And so this is kind of what Joshua is facing. In this situation, he's actually about to go up to Jericho, and he sees this incredible city, this huge, amazing city, the city that he's heard of before. He's already spied out the land 40 years earlier when Moses sent him into the Promised Land, and so he knows the reputation of the city, and you can almost imagine that he's getting afraid, right? He sees this incredible city, he's like, "Oh, crap. God has sent us into this promised land to take over that city, to win that city for us, but who are we?" And he starts to get, you can sense that he's starting to get afraid, and he gets approached by a man with a sword drawn, and he asks him, "Hey, are you for us or are you against us? Are you on my team? are you here to ensure that, you know, we have a successful campaign and that nothing will go wrong? And in that moment, you can see that he forgets about God's promises and the words that God has spoken over the Israelites from the day that he brought them out of Egypt. He already has promised them, I will bring you into the promised land and I will go before you and I will defeat these enemies. But yet here we have Joshua in this moment of doubt where he's like, oh crap, what am I going to do? And he sees a man, he sees an angel of the Lord, a messenger, and says, are you with us or are you against us? Are you here to ensure that we succeed? And in that moment, I think we can identify with Joshua because we get so wrapped up in the things that we're doing, things, the plans of our lives, that we change our perspective and we ask God, Lord, are you going to help me or am I going to have to do this on my own? Like, are you going to bless these plans of mine? And we know the issue with that perspective is, you know, well, one, a lot of times when we are in that situation, we pray to God as if he's a good luck charm or he is this talisman that we can use to inject power and to make our situations work out. And two, the other issue with this is that the focus of our lives actually turns to us and we take control of the narrative. And we begin to craft our own story and we try to take rest control away from God. But the narrative of our lives really isn't ours. And we can see that through the Bible. I mean, the Bible as a whole is God's narrative. It's his plan for redemption for us. Right? And this is how we are to live our lives. We use the Bible as a blueprint. Our lives are part of God's narrative. It's not that God is part of our narrative, but we are part of his. We are part of his purposes. Now, as much as we have our own plans and he wants to bless the plans that we make, we have to realize that ultimately it's for his purposes. It's for his will. We are here to fulfill his purposes. That's why he created us, right? He created us for his purpose. We didn't create ourselves. He created us. And so when we ask the question, you know, Lord, are you on my side? God, can you bless me? You know, these aren't necessarily bad questions to ask, but we really have to check what's in our hearts when we ask these questions. What's in our heart when we pray these things? You know, like Joshua, he goes, are you for us or for our adversaries? When we ask those sort of questions, it's the incorrect question, right? I don't know if you guys have watched The Office, but you know when Dwight asks a question, you know, he asks a question and the person answers, he's like, false, right? It's kind of like what the angel says. Are you for us or for our adversaries? He's like, false, that is the wrong question, right? And because the angel says, no, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord. The angel actually doesn't answer Joshua's question. He goes, your question is wrong. You have to reframe your perspective. See, our lives isn't like a pickup game of basketball, or like me, it isn't like checking my roster when I was at Cathay, making sure that I had the best team available to me. Right? We don't get to pick the most awesome player. Like, all right, I'm going to choose God, and he's going to score me 60 points, and we're going to win this game. I don't have to do anything because he's God, and, you know, voila. He doesn't get to act like a human cheat code for us. But in some ways, the truth is in there as well. Like, we really don't have to do too much. Because it's not that God is on our side, right? Right? We are on God's side. And, you know, through the actions of the angel, or the response of the angel, we really begin to see how we can honor God with how we even approach these situations, or when we're in these situations, what our mindset and what our heart should be at. You know, Joshua's question is, you know, are we going to lose? Are we going to win? Can we possibly take this city? Because he's standing there, he's looking at the city, he's seeing the land, and he knows how great these Canaanites are, and he's filled with this fear and this doubt. And the angel's response to him is like, no, you are with the Lord. It's not whether or not you can, but you are with the Lord, and he can. He has already won. And that's what he said. God tells us all the time. He has already won. Jesus has conquered the grave. He has risen. He has this incredible power. He has given this power for us to use for his purposes. And in light of this passage, you know, I've really begun to rethink my perspective on so many different things. And it's not, you know, I know I keep emphasizing this, but it's not that God is on my side, but I am on God's side. So even with Jared, recently Cora started going back to work, and I started having these little mini panic attacks because I'm like, oh crap, there's no one home to play with him. There's no one at home to take care of him. There's a helper, there's grandma, but his parents aren't there, right? For most of the day, we get home, we get to see him for about 2-3 hours, and we're always constantly worried. But one thing that God always brought to mind is, you know, do you believe that you are working for my purposes? Do you believe that, you know, Cora going back to work, you working at church, there's no primary caretaker other than our helper, do you believe that that is part of God's purposes? And I have to answer yes, because, you know, I'm not going to get into now, but the way I got into working at SP is totally God's design. The way that Cora ended up going back to work is totally God's design. It wasn't us forcing our way in. It was actually God opening all these doors for us, and we're like, okay, I guess this is the way to go, because there's no other way to explain how we are in the jobs that we are now. Like, we're totally unqualified, right? I fully admit I'm unqualified to be a pastor, yet God has grace on me. But I know that I'm part of his purpose. So that is a question that we should ask ourselves. You know, do we believe that we are part of God's purposes? Can we say for certain that, yes, what I'm currently doing now, or this situation, or me evangelizing to my friends or colleagues or whatever it is this God's purpose? Right? And if you can answer that question, if you can say, yes, this is God's purpose, we don't have to worry. So for me, it's, you know, I always worry, like, who's going to, you know, I hope Jared doesn't feel lonely. Because sometimes I'll watch the video camera and he's just sitting there and he's playing by himself, or he whines and no one's there to, you know, play with him. And I'm like, oh, even though his whining is really funny and cute and I laugh at him, it's horrible, but like, so I feel it on the inside when I really think about it. I'm like, man, is he going to turn out? You know, how is he going to turn out? I hope this doesn't cause inner healing issues, right? But God is speaking to me like, hey, what you guys are doing right now, this is for my purpose. And so if this is for my purpose, I will take care of you. And not just you, but you and your family, which means Jared. So don't worry so much. It's good to worry, but you don't have to unnaturally stress over who's going to take care of him, how is he going to turn out, and, you know, all these fears that keep coming up. The same thing that happened to Joshua. He's thinking like, how are we going to do this? The city is so great. You know, what are we going to do? God, you know, how are we going to possibly defeat the city of Jericho? And then he sees his angel like, are you for us or are you against us? And God, through the angel, reminds him like, no, I am not for you or against you, right? We have to reframe, we have to reposition our perspective to, you know, choose a side, me or him. But really it's, you know, am I on God's side? You know, and the fact is, you know, we are on God's side, right? The fact that we're here, we're listening, we're yearning, we're desiring to seek him out, we're here to pray. Now, that's more than ample evidence to show that we are on God's side. We are, you know, working for his purposes. We want to know him. We want to know what his purpose is and to complete it and to, you know, partner with him and to do it. So that's my major point. There's also Another thing, as I was just thinking about this passage, is a lot of the times we have these doubts that creep in. And we have to be very careful about those thoughts. And because that's when the enemy starts speaking very subtly to get us to agree with these things that, oh, can I possibly do this? Or even, that little bit of doubt, I'm like, I wonder if, and it begins from there. So when you start having those thoughts, we have to be really careful to examine our thoughts and to take hold of those thoughts that aren't necessarily productive. We might not realize it at the time, but when you do realize, it's to just take hold of those thoughts and to rebuke it and to remind yourself of what the truth is. Because our hearts are at times so wishy-washy. And it even says in Jeremiah, the heart is deceitful. Who can I know I'm quoting it wrong, but Jeremiah 17:7 or 17:9, our hearts are deceitful. Right? There are times where we think we know, but it's really just the enemy speaking to us and we're agreeing with it and we think it's our own thoughts. And that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And God is saying, no, that is not who you are. That is not your identity. That is not what the truth is. That is not what I'm saying. You have to remind yourself of what the truth is. One last verse that I'll leave with you guys is Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." See, it's not that everything in our lives is for our good, but it's for good. And I would interpret this as it's for God's good. It's for His purposes, right? And He uses those purposes to bless us as well. But when He uses those purposes to bless us, we should take that and, all right, how can I use this blessing that He's given me to bless others? And when we have that perspective, when we have that mindset, that, all right, God wants to bless people. So He used me, He's blessed me, but He's also using me to bless others. And everything else is going to be taken care of because I love God, right? And He's just going to, and as this verse says, He's going to take care of those who love Him. And so as we worship today, I invite Cardia to come up. Just think about, one is, do you feel yourself working according to God's purpose? That's one. Now, whether it's your job or whether it's your, whatever it is, whatever situation it is, do you feel like you are partnering with God in His purposes? And if you can't answer that question or you're not really sure, take the time to really meditate on it and ask God and pray to Him and really ask Him to speak to your heart as to why you're not able to answer it. There may be so many different possibilities as to why you can't answer it. But spend that time, right? Even if it means pausing from doing what you're doing to really examine your heart, take the time to do it and honor Him. Because if you can't answer whether or not it is God's purpose that you're doing or that you're partnering with Him with, is it really worth doing in the first place? So one, ask, am I working with God for His purposes? And two, if the answer is yes, if you feel fear or trepidation or anxiety over what it is that God is asking you to do, just remind yourself, like Joshua, or the angel had to remind Joshua, don't worry. It's not that God is going to come on your side. You're on God's side. the God that has brought you out of Egypt, the God that has brought the Israelites through 40 years of the wilderness, and they prospered. They had food to eat. And the only time they endured sickness or things that were bad was really just because of their own sin, of their own doing, because they disobeyed. So remind yourself, as long as you are obeying, God loves you so much and He wants to take care of you. So let's worship. Father, just thank you, God, that you constantly remind us that through the Bible, not just the individual stories, but the Bible as a whole, that it is your narrative and that it is your story. And that we don't need to craft our own story, that we can join in with you with what you are doing, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for how you have chosen us, God, how you have accepted us, Lord, and just how much you love us, Father. And so we just thank you, God. May you continue to show us, Lord, how much you love us, God. And may you open our eyes, Lord, to see, God, how you do it, Lord, and just the depth and the gravity of how you love us, Father. So we thank you. Turning to our community prayer focus, let's pray for those in our community and the family members who are suffering from cancer and also undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's also pray for those who are sick and also have yet to receive Christ into their lives. Let's pray for open hearts to not only receive the healing, but the word and love of God. Let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Just pray for God's healing hand over them. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's just ask God to open up the right doors and, like I said before, to really examine the hearts and ask the Lord, what are His purposes and to join with Him as in the context of their jobs. Let's pray. Our Wednesday morning prayer focus. Let's pray for China and SB Beijing with Pastor Hansu and Chloe and Enoch. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the churches that are in China, whether they're official government churches or underground churches. Let's just pray for God to be in all places and just to affect change in that country. Let's pray. Pray for the board. PSAM, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, and Mon. Let's pray that as they meet, they're just led by the Holy Spirit while they talk about matters of the church and the direction, and just let's pray for them and their families. I know that it's quite busy at times, so let's pray for God's grace upon them. Pray for our fellowship ministries, the men's ministry, with the Monday morning prayer, PD and men's fraternity groups. Also the men's retreat that's coming up. Let's pray for the women's ministry, the LIFT fellowship and the discipleship. I believe that's taking break, as well as their women's retreat that is coming up in November. Let's pray for young adults, Yahweh Eats, as Pastor Kenny leads them, as well as Springs, Love After Marriage, will be starting next week. So let's pray for all our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for SPLI. There is the Art and Science of Reading the Bible. That's proof of that course that as Jackie and Matthew facilitate, that the students really discover the joy that comes from reading the Word, and that they are just finding more and more, not just knowledge, but they are knowing God through this process. Pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your victory, God, and we thank you for just your love for us, and that you choose us, God, and that we can always look to you, or that we can always remind ourselves that this is for your purpose, and that your purposes will always come to pass, God, that the things that you have put into your will come to pass, Lord. And so we just cling on to that truth, Father. May you help us examine our hearts, Lord, and just really see if we're aligned to what you are doing, God. And in the areas of our lives where we're having difficulty, may you give us the grace just to come back to you, Lord, and to really just to follow in your footsteps, God. We thank you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you tomorrow.